Now making the transition, moving over from this to that, once trainers determine that the shift is required and clarify what a performance approach would look like, then the question becomes how to make the transition. Within the training and development field, there are two parallel but separate paths for making the shift. One as an individual contributor, the second is as a performance department. Let's see what they are. Smart trainers know that a shift to performance is essential if they have to add value to the organization. Although the journey from training to performance improvement is challenging, it is achievable. If you know, if you stretch yourself, if you work very hard, talking to people, calibrating yourself, changing your way of thinking, trying new methods, definitely it will happen. Continuous improvement, Kaizen as you call it in Japanese management. Many trainers have already made the transition, others are involved in the process, which requires thoughtful consideration and a commitment to execute the plan over time. A successful transition, however, enables a performance consultant to be viewed as a strategic business partner to management and the performance department as a true asset to the entire organization. When you go and meet, if any one of you listening to me is an HR trainer, behavioral trainer like me, or leadership coach, when you go and meet the concerned stakeholders in the company for getting a training assignment, from the way you talk, 5 or 10 minutes, they come to know that this person knows a larger picture. They know it, and they know who are the people who are the performance consulting types and who are the people who are not the types. So my sincere appeal, as you're listening to me, for all of you who are into the world of training, is to consciously shift yourself into the larger picture. By the way, there are trainers who train you into the shift also. So you must learn to get the larger picture to grow as a trainer in your own career. It's important. Okay? The performance consultant is an individual contributor. As an individual contributor, the consultant reports directly to the line management and usually operates independently of the training department. So one-on-one. The HOD, the production manager, may be in touch with me. The company will give that particular type of freedom and the autonomy for them, for him to be in touch with me with the express trust in him. Some situations for ideal for moving experienced training practitioners into the role of individual performance consultants. Sometimes what they may do is an experienced training practitioner will go and play the role of the individual performance consultant. He will do it on his as an individual, right? The situation we most frequently observe include a line manager knowledgeable of some of the benefits of performance improvement, discusses these possibilities with training practitioners, and is receptive, is open to supporting a performance consultant on his or her team. The performance consultant has to make the line manager very comfortable. Line manager is concerned about his work, his own performance, his own targets. So if you go there and talk to him without making connections with his what he is trying to say, then you may put him off. So make him comfortable, do a buy-in so that you are enabling him and he is enabling you. The concept of performance improvement excites an individual trainer who initiates discussions with the line manager or training leadership. Comfortable with the traditional approach, hesitates to move the entire function towards a performance improvement focus, but is supportive of the individual moving to the performance improvement approach. They would like to take you to first through the individual approach and then take it to the bigger approach. Okay? This change is iterative rather than occurring overnight. Iterative means what? We test it and try it and again try to change it, again test it, again try it. We do an iteration. So it's over a period of time, slowly you transit. You don't transit overnight. It goes slow. They have to test you, they have to calibrate you, they have to see that this man fits into our culture. So, you know, gradually, that's how I transited from that, you know, they have to feel the confidence that I've got the skills, I'm hardworking, I understand them. So many parameters are there. So it's something that happens over a period of time, not overnight, in short. The transition from a trainer to a performance consultant is not a sudden state change. Even if you change your job title, unit or employer, it's not a change of designation either. Instead, the transition is a matter of extending one's reach over time. It boils down to being able to be successfully tackle a broader array of problems in the workplace, and based on that success, build one's credibility in ways that extend one's reach even farther. Credibility is a key word here. They must feel they can trust you, that you're credible enough. It's not about you being knowledgeable, all knowledgeable about everything. Nobody is all knowledgeable about everything. Nobody. But the credibility, the trust that this person, when the situation warrants, will be able to show us pathways. That trust, that bonding, that belongingness has to happen. That's how a performance consultant is as good as an employee of the company. He's outside, that's the only difference. But for all practical purposes, it's a sense of belonging where they operate. It's my company, that attitude should come. It's important. You may have different clients, but every client you go is my company. That culture you have to learn to get yourself absorbed. Over a period of time, the performance consultant works with the line managers to increase increasingly more complex performance problems. It requires more and more of the performance consultant's time. For every 2 days of workshop which I do for a company, before that I have to meet these people at least 3 or 4 times. Yeah. Because the more complex the training gap, the more people I need to meet. Right? I've got a lot of cases, time being the only issue, I cannot narrate it right here. But there are cases wherein a very complex training gap is given to me and said, this we need to tackle. And then I need to sit down and do my homework, then go and meet A, meet B, meet C. So all this takes time. Each one will give a perspective. Then all of them together, then I'll get a different perspective. Then I arrive at some module and then deliver it. Research indicates that competent full-time performance consultants spend approximately 78% of their time focused on performance improvement activities. 78%, 80%, 90%, it only tries to tell you that they spend a lot of time. When I'm not into training, when I'm sitting at home, I'm doing my work, what do I do? A person like me, I try to see more and more about how better I can change my modules. What is the latest which my client wants? Where is he leaping into? A pharma company is trying to do a research on a new molecule. So maybe they are successful. Maybe they are coming out of the vaccine. So when the vaccine comes, what will be the type of needs they have in the company? What sort of managers they need to have? What sort of attitudes they need to have? Who will be their customer? Now all this is a part of my daily reading and daily interactivity with either on the reading material and or with the industry. Often the line manager has a performance consultant move to the business unit and report directly to the leadership team. In many companies, I have a one-on-one with the company line managers as smoothly as if I'm an employee of the company, and we have a lot of give and take, because of which the way I'm able to give the module becomes much more better for me and for them. Business unit management is usually happy to fund the position when it can have the performance consultant on a full-time basis. Now, having a performance consultant within the company is another ball game. Some companies do that. Individual performance consultants find themselves engaged in a variety of activities ranging from performance improvement projects to coaching business unit managers on workplace performance and issues. This is what I do. Having a full-time consultant in the company, within the company as an employee, is not that resourceful, because what happens is then that person gets into a bit of a tunnel vision. He gets controlled by the constraints of the thinking of the company by default. So having somebody independent outside on a full-time basis, on a retainership basis, is also perfectly okay. It's an open-ended job in which the performance consultant cannot predict what will be the next challenge. Ask me. This is a very, very, very tricky thing which you need tremendous amount of skills and patience to understand this. What really happens is you do not know what is the next challenge you're going to get. You do not know what is the next thing you're going to face. Because they start coming up like arrows from different directions. And then you must have the resourcefulness to take them one at a time and learn to integrate all of them. When you do this over a period of time, like the art of forecasting, you come to know this culture has got this type of working. So you can keep yourself prepared with an anticipation that something new is coming up. That preparation is very important. That preparation is your resourceful state, right? Individuals who thrive in this environment are comfortable with ambiguity. Now underline the word ambiguity. I love ambiguity. When things are not clear, I love to bring about clarity. Now there are a lot of people who want everything clear. If everything is clear, they don't need you. Organizations' conversations are also ambiguous sometimes because they themselves are not sure. They confess. I know some changes has to take place in my department, but I do not know what. Many line managers tell me. I said, let's explore. Then we sit down. Then through the exploration, through the conversation, that ambiguity suddenly becomes clarity. If a trainer does not have this skill to accept ambiguity, convert the ambiguity into clarity, then there is a, then the trainer struggles. Individuals who thrive on this environment are comfortable with ambiguity and are stimulated by the problems with solutions that are not initially apparent. Every ambiguity is giving you an opportunity to explore your own skills of discovery. So ambiguity is very good. As a matter of fact, if you want to become a leader, a true leader, not just a name, leadership is a process. As different from a manager is doing the functions that have been told to him in a particular framework. He's got a designation, a power, authority, responsibility, and accountability. And he's given a designation, deputy manager, general manager, vice president. These are all managerial positions. A leader is one who thinks visionary. And for him, and when you're into visionary, you are into ambiguity. You're looking at things which are yet to manifest. You're walking into the unknown. So people who are comfortable handling ambiguity can actually become good leaders, because leaders are leaders because they know how to handle ambiguity. Take any field of life, whether it's politics, whether it's corporate, whether it's any part of life, you see, your own home, you may be having somebody in your home who is a very good leader. Need not be an elderly person, it can be anybody. There are some individuals who are gifted with this particular, they rather create into them the capacity to handle anything that is ambiguous. They are very innovative. Okay. Not only do the consultants work effectively with management, but they also form a network of specialists who can be called on to provide specific solutions and work collaboratively with others to improve performance. So these people are very good networkers. So there are certain parts of training which may not be my strong area, and I must have the capacity, this objectivity to realize that I have a colleague of mine from the same field who is very good in that. So I may recommend that specialist. I said, he's good in that, take him. This is not about being selfish and saying it's my business, I take the money, etc., etc. This is more of a broader thing. It takes time to understand this particular aspect of working. It's not I, me, and myself. It's us, we, right? The most successful performance consultants are those who sense the organization dynamics, the way the organization operates at different levels, their own equations with the people, and the forces impacting the implementation of the performance improvement projects. These are the people who can do performance consulting pretty well. Often the needs of the organization and the vision of the training leadership call for a transition of training function to one of the performance improvement. Okay, vision, training, leadership, all this is important. Unless you have a leadership at the top. Now, leadership is not a position. The CEO of a company need not have a leadership quality in him or her. Need not be. They're supposed to be. Now, when you say leadership, it's got a lot of dimensions. I'm not explaining it right now. It requires a certain amount of visionary approach. The word vision is given there. Looking at the future, what could happen to my industry? What could happen to technological developments? What would be the type of work cultures that will prevail in the future? This is the type of thing that needs to happen. And so I can prepare for my performance management for the future. This typically occurs when training leadership is dissatisfied with the manner by which it works with line management. Perhaps working in pairs, pair of hands is or an expert. It is like doing a band-aid type of a job. Some hurt, you know, you put a band-aid here and band-aid there. That's all perfect. But if your whole body is hurt, you can't afford to do it as a band-aid. So these dissatisfied leaders, training leadership, they notice that this is not enough. There's something more to it. And they identify it. And then that's when the performance part of it comes into picture. The training department manager, training director, or the corporate university president initiates a move towards performance improvement. These agencies come together and they take care of it. Those training leaders who have been successful in shifting their focus to performance improvement realize that they must use performance consulting to transition in their own departments. If you're a performance improvement person in your own company, you know how to shift from old technology to new technology, if you're a change agent, if you're a change person, to put it in different words, then you'll know how to facilitate others' changes also. Right? Rigid people will find it difficult to go for change. Flexible people know how to absorb change and take forward. Such people would be in a good position to take the transition forward to others also, besides their own departments. There are documented cases in which the training manager has sponsored a consulting skills workshop for key trainers, only to find that a successful transition requires more than just a workshop. How true? How true? Just attending a two-day workshop doesn't make you a trainer. There are people who are doing train the trainers within 2 days, 3 days, you know. No, it can't be done. If I want to train a trainer in a company, I need to go through a number of processes. It's an ongoing process, not 1 or 2 days. And it is glamorously called a TOT, train the trainer, TTT. Not in a day or two, it's not an event. Okay. As indicated earlier, a single solution to performance change rarely produces the desired results. Therefore, the effective training director realizes that there must be an alignment between performance improvement process, the organization culture, structure and culture, and the performance consultant's job design, and many other factors, of course. Process alignment. Very important. What is process? The steps that we take towards the goal. The shift to performance brings about many changes in the way trainers work. Not only are they partnering with the line managers, but they are also conducting different types of front-end assessments, implementing multiple solutions, and measuring on-the-job performance and business results. Many things they have to do. Therefore, the manager of a newly created performance department must rethink how the work will be done, how the processes are going to be aligned with each other. In other words, the manager works with the performance consultant to engineer the workflow, to create a proper flow. Performance consultants indicate the steps that they will use when partnering with line managers, such as completing performance analysis, managing performance change projects, and measuring the impact of the change initiatives. The very effective performance department managers outline the flow of work in the form of a process model that describes each phase of the performance improvement. In many instances, the process model consists of the following phases. The first phase is partnering phase. In this phase, the consultants form strategic business relationship with the line managers, which I've already explained. This requires a knowledgeable, business savvy person who consults with line managers without being biased towards a single solution. This person becomes intimately familiar with the goals, strategies, and the challenges of the business unit. As a consultant, this person helps the business unit leadership see the performance implications of the decision that it makes. Each consultant supports specific line managers building sustained relationships even when a project is not being implemented. Once a project has been identified, the activities move into the next phase of the process. Assessment phase. This is a data collection phase in which the consultant or the project team collects data so that they can diagnose the situation and eventually report on the business and performance requirements, gaps, and causes of those gaps. During this phase, the consultant and the project team members collect a variety of information regarding the problem and the causes of the problem. It's quantitative and qualitative with open-ended questions, and you must be able to talk to as many people as possible and collect data. Put them in a proper way, collate them properly, put them in a proper structure so that it makes a meaningfulness for you. They must have sufficient technical expertise to analyze the information being collected. So in many instances, the assessment phase is handled by a small group of consultants with expertise in the areas being studied. For example, if I need to know about some production issues in a shop floor of a pharma company, I need to have people who are familiar with the pharma production flow, shop flow. So naturally, they are the people who will be able to guide me, right? It is this group that provides feedback to the client and helps the client arrive at the combination of appropriate solutions, right? Then we go to the implementation phase, the actual action. Because a solution could require an almost limitless number of specialties, depending upon the nature of the cause, this phase requires a variety of individuals with unique technical expertise. So there may be an expertise who's a production expertise. There may be a person who's a logistics expertise. There may be an expertise who's a person who's a service expertise. All of them have to come together. It's an intersection point of number of people. The performance consultant often helps to select the individuals who will work in the various solutions. The consultant works with the intervention specialists who design and implement the change while maintaining contact and communication with the clients. Measurement phase. In most projects, results to be measured are determined during the assessment phase. In this phase, a data collection strategy and the data collection tools are found. Often, a specialist in measurement and evaluation becomes a part of the team to provide objectivity and rigor needed. The performance consultant provides the link to the business need and access to the client. Measurement is very important after implementation. And it logically follows anybody who is good in the previous three stages, for him or her, the measurement becomes logically possible. Okay. Now we come to organization alignment, the alignment of the organization, falling in line. Once a process has been identified, the performance department manager faces the challenge of organizing the function in a manner that supports the process. No one person should do all the phases of the process. Most frequently, some consultants are responsible for the partnership phase or for being the primary advisor to the line management during the other phases. Other specialists are accountable for conducting performance assessments, completing gap and cause analysis, and implementing solutions. It's an interdependent activity. Still others have responsibility for designing learning activities and creating learning materials. The manager organizes the department in a manner that meets the needs of the line managers and optimizes the capabilities of the people in the department. In addition, the manager networks with other internal departments and external resources to ensure that a broad spectrum, broad array of intervention specialists will be available as needed during the implementation phase. Intervention specialists are none other than those people who know the particular job very well, and they know how to fill the gaps by their own training methods. In organization alignment, we have performer alignment. Now that the process has been defined and the roles within the department have been clarified, the department manager designs jobs that ensure the process can be implemented effectively and projects can be managed successfully. Intervention specialists within the training department and other functions have technical skills that are unique to their area of expertise. In addition, there are skills that are common for all who interface with clients, right? An intervention specialist may be a specialist in a certain area of IT, for example, but he also has a common skill with the people who are dealing with people, communication skills, team skills, etc. But when it comes to a core area of IT, a particular part of IT, then that person will be the right, he's an intervention specialist for that. So intervention specialists, say about 5 or 6 of them are there, they will have something common. At the same time, each one is a specialist in their own area. Tools, job aids and templates have to be created for those common situations, such as partnering with line managers and identifying performance improvement projects. Workshops have to be created and facilitated to bring skills in a proficient level. Taking it further, a coaching system has to be established so that consultants and specialists have someone to rely on for whatever situation occurs. The challenge here is to bring everyone to the department for a proficient skill level so that the performance consulting process will operate effectively and efficiently. It may take some time. Some people are slow learners, some are fast learners, so you have to bring them. You have to take your time, you can't be in a hurry, and then bring them in a certain parity. Maximum number of people, a critical mass of people, should come to a certain proficient level, skill level, then the performance consulting matters. The second aspect of organization alignment is implementation and making it happen. For this transition to be successful, the department manager must keep the mind and be an advocate of the performance improvement process. He must be talking in terms of performance improvement, whatever he talks about, from pin to piano. Implementation of this process often consists of the following steps as outlined below. Step 1, getting started. First, the client who has a business need and strong credibility in the organization is sought to sponsor a performance improvement project. It can be one department, one division, one location. The first initiative becomes a learning laboratory for the process. Orchestrating the transition is the second step. Orchestrating the transition, like an orchestra. Now you have to see that all the people with different functions are coming together. The amount of time, energy and expense required to make a successful transition to the performance improvement process cannot be underestimated. It is important to be sensitive to the individual efforts required of each department in handling the day-to-day training requirements while also learning and implementing the new process. There's a day-to-day training that you need to go through. Day-to-day, or when we say day-to-day, it's not day-to-day as in calendar day, but on a shorter duration times. There's a routine training that department has to go through. At the same time, they have to dovetail themselves with the new performance tools that we are implementing. Building departmental commitment, third stage. The department manager must model commitment to the performance consulting process. It's a long-drawn process. So the commitment usually falls out after some time when you find that things are not working out or you think it's not working out. The department manager must model a commitment to the performance consulting process and the new roles by actively embracing the change. He must be a change agent and he must embrace the change. He must show it in his behavior. The manager must also anticipate and prepare for resistance. Not everyone will go all along. I come across this scenario in many organizations. The leader can overcome some resistance by clarifying the vision and reinforcing it through supportive actions. Okay? Step 4 is gaining support from senior management, obviously. It's crucial to position the transition as an important product or service startup. Identifying critical clients and communicating the benefits help to manage expectations early in the process. This is vital for later success. Buy-in from the senior management. The consultant under-promises and over-delivers with timely support that delights the client. The consultant should always play it safe because there are too many factors. When I say play safe means, although the consultant know that this can be possible, try to under-promise, but commit you can over-deliver it. Step 5 is measuring the impact. When implementing the transition, a variety of performance and process improvement metrics appropriate for measuring the full impact of the performance interventions must be examined. When implementing the transition, a variety of performance and process improvement metrics, measurables, which is appropriate for measuring the full impact of the performance interventions must be examined. We must be aware, these are the performance metrics and these are the process improvement metrics. And we must be clear about how to use them in measurements, how to use them for measuring. Experienced measurement practitioners should be identified and assigned the role of evaluators. This is not about measurement as in numbers. This is about measurement overall, the numbers at the same time, behaviors, attitude, etc. These evaluators become internal consultants, building the measurement model and establishing a baseline of skills required for the measurement. So finally, I come to my perspective, author's perspective, the trainer's perspective. A major transition has been noticed in the world of training, as I already told you. Training, which principally involves one or few aspects to be imparted, has conventionally been not so appreciated due to various reasons, as we already discussed. Increasingly, as businesses are progressing, a deeper understanding is not alone enough. The employees need to be trained for overall performance and not just a few attributes. Today, successful and highly effective trainers are more of performance consultants and facilitators, in which they map, understand the organization's performance needs and act accordingly. Performance consulting is an ongoing intervention, unlike training, which is like an event. Performance consulting makes a two-way accountability between the trainer and the organization. And with this, my dear friends, I conclude this exciting chapter. Thanks for listening. All the best.